know that we're appreciate you leaders. I've really come to appreciate Brother Matt, and we're PKs, we're preacher's kids, and so that's always just been a special bond. And I appreciate his heart. I appreciate his love for the church. You know, he's a sharp guy, and you folks are blessed to have him. You're blessed to have Pastor Bruce, and what the Lord has done for him, it's wonderful. We were talking this morning how God has been good through tragedy, and he's praising him, not cursing him. So we give you praise for that. For those of you who are joining us online, we welcome you. We've got about 650,000 here in the building today, and we just want you to know that we welcome you. And no, I'm being a little facetious. But for those of you who are joining us perhaps in other parts of West Virginia or other states or maybe other parts of the world, welcome to the Wesleyan Church. We're a small tribe. We're not a large group, but we're a loving group. And we're glad that you're here, and we welcome you today. Appreciate so much 3 Mile being a part of the Wesleyan tribe. I mentioned the Wesleyan Church. I appreciate you folks' support. You know, if I'm not mistaken, Ronnie, 3 Mile was the very first church this year to pay their USF in full. Thank you. Thank you for that. That's great. Man, you guys get the red, the blue ribbon for that. And thank you for your giving. I just want you to hear my thanks. And I was in a camp board meeting yesterday for our family camp. And I was reminded of the gift that you folks sent on behalf of Sister Bostic. And that was huge for you folks. And I just want to commend you for doing that in her memory. Thank you so much. If you have a Bible today, or you have your device, people, you know, they've got their Bibles on their devices today and all of that, I'd like for you to find the Old Testament book of Ezekiel. The Old Testament book of Ezekiel. I'm actually going to be reading the main scripture, I may say, from chapter 47. But we're going to begin reading in chapter 40. And now I am not going to read chapters 40 through 47. That would be a cool thing to do. If you would like to do that this coming week, that might be a good thing, especially after hearing the message today. Because I am going to be speaking this morning from a vision that the prophet Ezekiel had. And I'm going to, hopefully, you will see through the scripture, through the words of the Bible, and using your great imaginations, your minds, these wonderful minds that God has given us. You know, you and I are made just a little bit lower than the angels of heaven. We are God's special creation. And we are God-like, in a sense. Now, we're not God. Some people act like they're God, but they're not. And but we are God-like. He made us in His own image. He breathed life into us. And so I want you to know, please look at me real quick. You are very special. Every one of you. You are special indeed. Because God made you. And God breathed into you. And you know, you have a never dying soul. You have a never dying soul. And you will choose, and I will choose, where we spend eternity. Because of that. But anyway, you can use your minds today, and you can kind of envision this vision, if you please, as we look at it together. Now, if you would, let's go to chapter 40 first. Ezekiel, the Old Testament book. Ezekiel, beginning here with verse 40, is going to be having a vision. I'd like for you to pick up with me the reading in verse 1. Ezekiel chapter 40, beginning with verse 1. in the 25th year of our exile. This is when the Jews were in Babylonian exile. God's people had been allowed by Almighty God to be captured, if you please, by the Babylonians because of their rebelliousness, because of their sin, because of their unwillingness to follow Almighty God. Ladies and gentlemen, please hear me. We pay a price when we choose not to go with God. And we have nobody to blame but ourselves if we make that choice. And God's people, His special people, He loved them. Matter of fact, way back earlier in history, He wanted to be their king. They wanted to be like other nations and have a king. They had God and they didn't want Him. That's amazing to me. They wanted a king, and so He gave them Saul. Remember that story? Some of you remember the story of Saul. Well, you know, he ended up being a flop. Well, after him came David. And David wasn't perfect, but David was a man after God's own heart. And God blessed David, even through some of his sin and some of his problems. But because of Israel's rebelliousness, because of their sinfulness, because of their refusal to go God's way, God allowed judgment to come to them. We do serve a loving God, a holy God. We also serve a God of judgment. Oh yes, absolutely. Let's not forget that. In His love and His mercy, aren't you thankful for His love and mercy? We need to also realize that He's just. Oh yeah, He's just. And He was just to His own people. And so He allowed them to go into this 40-year captivity, Babylonian captivity. And in this verse it said we were in the 25th year of our exile. At the beginning of the year, on the 10th of the month, in the 14th year after the fall of the city, Jerusalem, on that very day, the hand of the Lord was upon me, and He took me there. In visions of God, He took me to the land of Israel and set me on a very high mountain, on whose south side were some buildings that looked like a city. He took me there, and I saw a man whose appearance was like bronze. He was standing in the gateway of the city, with a linen cord and a measuring rod in his hand. The man said to me, "Son of man, look with your eyes and hear with your ears and pay attention to everything I'm going to show you, for that is why you have been brought here. Tell the house of Israel everything that you see." And so this vision begins, this heavenly vision, you might say, this divine vision with Ezekiel while they were in exile. And in the rest of verse chapter 40, they began to see the temple area in the city. And on through the rest of the chapters that follow. And then I want you to stop at chapter 43. We're still in the vision. Ezekiel is still in the vision. And he said, "Then the man brought me to the gate facing east, and I saw the glory of the God of Israel coming from the east. His voice was like the roar of rushing waters, and the land was radiant with His glory." Man, what a sight. The vision I saw was like the vision I had seen when He came to destroy the city, and like the visions I had seen by the Kabar River, and I fell face down. The glory of the Lord entered the temple, the Jewish temple, through the gate facing east. Then the Spirit lifted me up and brought me into the inner court, and the glory of the Lord filled the temple. Ezekiel is still in this vision. It's like a dream, you might say. This wonderful vision. And then if you read through the rest of 43 and 44 and 45 and 46, the vision continues. This is what you may want to take on your own this coming week and kind of take this whole thing in. It might be quite a journey for you. And then in 47, pick up the reading with verse 1 if you would, chapter 47. The man, this man who had the appearance of bronze in chapter 40. The man brought me back to the entrance of the temple. And I saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple toward the east, for the temple faced east. The water was coming down from under the south side of the temple, south of the altar. He then brought me out through the north gate, and he led me around the outside of the outer gate facing east, and the water was flowing from the south side. We're going to go back to the water here in a few minutes. As the man went eastward with a measuring line in his hand, he measured off 1,000 cubits, and then he led me through the water that was ankle deep. He measured off 1,000 cubits and led me through water that was knee deep. He measured off 1,000 and led me through water that was up to the waist. He measured off 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross because the water had risen and was deep enough to swim in, a river that no one could cross. He asked me, "Son of man, Ezekiel, do you see this?" Then he led me back to the bank of the river. When I arrived there, I saw a number of trees on each side of the river. He said to me, "The water flows toward the eastern region and goes down into the Arabah, where it enters the sea, the Dead Sea. When it empties into the sea, the Dead Sea, which is a salty sea, the water there becomes fresh. Swarms of living creatures will live wherever the river flows. There will be large numbers of fish because this water flows there and makes the salt water fresh. So where the river flows, everything will live." With that scripture in our minds, and we'll come back to it here in a few moments, I want you to look at me for a moment. I want to talk to you this morning about healing. Healing. You know, a lot of times when we think about healing, we think about physical healing, which is good. Brother Matt prayed for a number of people today who are struggling physically, and we should. You know, the Bible says, if there are any among you that are sick, let him call for the elders of the church to anoint him with oil, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick. Yes, we should pray for physical healing. So a lot of times when we're thinking about illness, when we think about sickness, we think about physical healing. When we go to the doctors, we usually go because there's a physical need. People enter hospitals because there is a physical need. On the other hand, I believe with all of my heart that there are a lot of people, many people, maybe there are some in the room this morning, maybe there are some that are watching online today, that they are suffering with other kind of hurts that are not just physical hurts. There are emotional hurts, relational hurts. There are those that suffer from mental hurts. We hear a lot today about mental illness. And then there are those who are suffering spiritually. They are spiritually ill. You would say, "Pastor, why are they spiritually ill?" We become spiritually ill when we reject God, when we go against God, when we willfully break His laws and commands. That's sin, a willful transgression against the known will of God. And there are people who are spiritually sick. There are others that are spiritually sick due to a backslidden life. They have turned their back on God. They once really knew Him. They had a relationship with Him. They walked with Him. But they allowed sin to creep in. They allowed the enemy of our soul to get a foothold, and they have lost their way. I guess we live in a day where people need all kinds of healing. I believe it's true. But there are people who tremendously need spiritual healing. The songwriter, the hymnist put it this way, "Oh, the joy of sins forgiven. Oh, the bliss, the blood washed. No. Oh, the peace akin to heaven where the healing waters flow. Oh, to lean on Jesus' breast while the tempest come and go. Here is blessed peace and rest where the healing waters flow." Ezekiel saw water coming out from under the threshold of the temple. The Bible speaks about spiritual healing in different places. Follow with me in Psalm 41, verse 4. "I said, Lord, be merciful unto me, heal my soul, for I have sinned against thee." Isaiah wrote in chapter 53, "But he was wounded," speaking of Jesus, "he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities," or our sin. "The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed." Aren't you thankful today for the healing virtue, the healing power of Almighty God? Jeremiah chapter 3 said, "Return, ye backslidden children, and I will heal your backsliding. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God." Hosea, another Old Testament prophet, said, "Come and let us return unto the Lord, for he hath torn and he will heal us. He has smitten and he will bind us up." Oh, glory to God. Let me tell you, sometimes we pay for what we choose. Sometimes we suffer because of our choices. But aren't you thankful for the mercy of God? Amen. Aren't you thankful that if we confess our sin, he's faithful and just to forgive us? Hallelujah. You know, you may have people in your life who would say, "I will never forgive you for what you've done." Well, I want you to know one thing. I want you to know two things. Number one, they're not really hurting you. Number two, they're hurting themselves for feeling that way. But I want you to know today that there's a God in heaven that will forgive us if we truly, truly are remorseful. The scripture that we read from Ezekiel 47 talks about waters. Remember, I told you to think about that. Talks about waters that had their spring under the threshold of the gate of the temple that looked toward the east. The waters symbolize the living water. I believe the waters that Ezekiel saw in the vision, I believe that they symbolize everything that's of God. I think they symbolize God's amazing grace. I think they symbolize the forgiving and the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. I believe that they symbolize the power of the Holy Spirit. This living water will cause everything, everybody to live if only given the opportunity. Somebody might say, "You know, Pastor Greg, what are some of the spiritual needs? What are some of the other needs that the living water heals?" Well, let's just identify a few, if you would, with me this morning. Number one, this water heals sin. We've already talked about that a bit. If you who are hearing my voice in the room this morning, or if there are some of you that are joining us online today, if you would say, "Pastor, I am sin sick. I'm physically well. My doctor says I may live to be 100. I'm good to go. But I am sick. I'm spiritually sick." I want you to know that there is a water flowing from the throne of God. That is healing. The only thing that you need to do this morning, friend, is just recognize your need. You know, before we go to a medical doctor to get physical attention, don't we first have to realize and recognize that we have a need? You know? Oh, yeah. Listen, if we're going to get spiritual healing, we've got to say, Lord, it's me standing in the need of prayer. Standing in the need of your touch. We need to recognize. And then we need to accept the fact that the living water can make a difference. And then we need to walk into the river. Notice verse 5 again in verse 47. If you still have your Bible open, where Ezekiel said, this man of bronze measured off another 1,000, but now it was a river that I could not cross. Ladies and gentlemen, I want you to know that if you have a sin problem today, if you would say, yes, I am spiritually sick, you need to take a stroll into the river. You need to walk into the water. And listen, don't stop just when you get ankle deep. Don't stop when you just get knee deep. Don't stop walking when it just gets to your waist. But you keep walking by faith until you have to swim in it to where it covers you from head to toe. There is a river that flows from God above. Aren't you thankful today for the living water? You know, there's not the sickness of sin, and this water not only heals sin, which it does, thank God, but I think this water heals disappointment. Christian brother and sister, please hear me. I hate to tell you this, but being a Christian, being a follower of Jesus Christ, does not exempt us from disappointment. However, your disappointment doesn't have to defeat. It doesn't have to destroy you, because the healing waters are flowing from beneath the throne of God. Jesus suffered great disappointments in his earthly life. The great saints of the past have faced great disappointments. I guess what I'm trying to say, we are going to experience disappointments. But listen, if you're bound down, and if you're heavy laden with disappointments in your life, maybe there are some real disappointments. Maybe things just haven't worked out the way you thought they would, the way you prayed they would, the way that you dreamed they would. It just has not happened for whatever reason. I want you to know that you just need to take a walk out into the water that is filled with the living virtues. Don't stop knee deep. Don't stop at your knees. Don't stop at your waist. But wade through faith until the water completely covers you, and allow the virtue, the healing virtues of Almighty God that is flowing today, allow it to wash you. Allow it to help you. Allow it to give you hope. Allow it to give you encouragement to go forward. The enemy of our soul wants us to be disappointed. He wants us to be discouraged. He wants to defeat us. But I want you to know there is living water that's flowing from Almighty God today. And if we'll just take a walk into the river, let me tell you, it'll make a difference. It'll make a difference. This water heals bitterness. You know, I guess one of the things that destroys people as much as anything, at least in my opinion, is bitterness. Somebody might say, Pastor Greg, what is bitterness? I hear that word. What is it? Well, it's resentfulness. It has a tint of hatred to it. I heard a definition many years ago that I've never forgotten, obviously, of bitterness that I like. You may want to write it down and just store it away in your mind. Bitterness is unfulfilled revenge. Think about that. There's been a hurt. There's been a disappointment. There's been something that has happened. And there's almost, and we've heard people say, I'll get you back. I'll get you back. Don't you worry. You've gone too far now. Bitterness, unfulfilled revenge. One has a tendency to become bitter when wrong or injustice comes their way. People become bitter toward God when they don't get what they want, or maybe when something is taken from them that seems so unjust. Probably one of the saddest truths about bitterness is that it often causes people to react in ways that they regret later. The last church that I pastored was a church in Michigan. It was a great church. It's probably the best local church that I've ever really been affiliated with. It wasn't perfect by any means, and I'm going to tell you a story that'll prove that. But it was a great church. I was honored to be a part of it and to lead it. But there were two men in the church. They were influential men in the church. They were leaders in the church. They were business partners together. And for years, the business went well, and they did well. Well, there came a season when the business, it really went belly up. And let me tell you, there was a wedge that came and was driven between those two brothers and the Lord. And it became ugly. It became awful. It became painful. It became discouraging. I, as the pastor, trying to help, got involved in it. Hindsight, I learned some things. I probably shouldn't have tried to do that, but you know, when your sheep are hurting, going through things, I mean, you know, a shepherd tries to get involved. And but anyway, long story short, I tried to work with the men. Other church leaders tried to work with the men. Friends in their lives tried to work with them. There was no resolution. And the bitterness, it affected our church. It finally ended up in the courts. Well, in the courts, you know, you kind of have a winner, but nobody wins. And relationships destroyed. This is what I want you to know. Their bitterness has cost them greatly. I won't go into all the details, but just believe me, it has carried a high, high price. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, bitterness will kill a person spiritually, emotionally, relationally. And you say, well, Pastor Greg, you don't understand. I've been hurt. I've been abused. I've been rejected. I'm not saying that I understand. I know I don't understand. Bruce and I was talking about some of that stuff before church today. But what I do understand, hear me, there's a river that flows from the throne of Almighty God. And even in your bitter state, if you will begin to take a walk into the river. And don't stop when it just gets to your ankles. Don't stop when it just hits your knees. When you get to your waist, don't stop. But you keep walking until you have to begin to swim in it. And you let it cover you from head to toe. And you let it hit every part of your body. Oh, listen, there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins. And people who plunge beneath that flood, they lose all their dirty stains. Whether they're sinful stains or emotional stains or bitter stains. Hallelujah. Aren't you thankful today that we have a God who can meet our every need? No matter what it is, there's healing for bitterness. Yes, there's healing for sin. We've talked about that. There's healing for disappointment. We're going to have disappointments. There's healing for bitterness. There's healing from wounds. Jesus, our leader, our Savior, our God, the Son of God, He suffered many wounds while He was on this earth. Listen, he was rejected. He was not liked. Man, people tried to stone him. Who knows what else? Paul told young Timothy, he said, all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Yes, there will be wounds along the way. There will be hurt. We'll be criticized. We'll be misunderstood. And it's painful. And that's part of this old life. But allow me to ask you a question. Have you maybe been wounded lately? Maybe there's been something said along the way. Maybe it's been recent. Maybe it was today. Where somebody said something that just hurt you. Oh, listen. If so, just start walking into the river. Take a walk. Take a walk by faith. Unless when it hits your ankles, don't stop. When it gets to your knees, don't you quit walking. And when it hits your waist, you keep walking. And it's going to come up to here. And it's going to come up to here. And it's going to come to here. You're going to have to start swimming. But oh, let me tell you, there is a river. There is a river. There is that virtuous, heavenly, divine water, Bruce, that flows from underneath the threshold of the temple of God. And it still washes and heals and cleanses today. Aren't you thankful for the water? There's healing. There's healing for wounds. Spiritual healing. You know, there may be some of you here today that would say, you know, Pastor, what you've said I can resonate with. There's some other needs in my life. There's some emotional stuff. There's some relational stuff. And the list could go on. I haven't hit them all. You know. And he knows. And I just want you to know today that he loves you. And that if you, by faith, will take a walk into the river, there's something there for you. There's something there. There's something there. He wants us to be whole, doesn't he? He wants us to be whole. He wants us to be clean. He wants us to be healed. He wants us to be encouraged. In this life, we will have tribulations. But remember, he said, be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. I'd like for you to stand with me, if you would. Those of you who are joining us online this morning, maybe you can just bow your head wherever you are sitting. If you're driving, don't bow your head. But maybe there would be those this morning with your heads bowed and your eyes shut. Again, maybe if you're online, you want to hit the comments section. And for those of you that are here looking, that are here in the building, you might say, Pastor, I need to take a walk into the river. Would you pray for me? Would you just lift your hand? Just raise your hand and say, pray for me. I will. Thank you. Thank you. I appreciate your honesty. I want to encourage you in these coming days. You take a walk by faith. And you don't stop until it covers you. You pray. You seek the Lord. Well, let me tell you, you will find the water. For those of you who are watching online, if you've hit the comment section, just say, pray for me. If you want to share the need, you may. You don't have to. I just want you to know that God spans miles and technology and everything. And boy, the river flows where you are today, too. Lord, we give you praise today for your truth. We thank you for your word. Lord, we believe it. Lord, we believe this vision. We believe what Ezekiel saw. We believe in that divine water that's flowing from the threshold of the temple, out from under the throne of God, as it were. And I think of these who have lifted a hand today. Oh Lord, I pray, whatever the need is, that you would help them even now, and this afternoon, and tomorrow. Lord, to keep saying, I'm going to walk into the river. I'm going to walk into the river. Those who are watching online today, Lord, if some of them need to take a walk into this divine river, I pray you would help them, wherever they are, to do that. Lord, we give you praise. Thank you for your love. Thank you for your mercy. Thank you for your grace. Father, thank you for Jesus. Thank you for the blood of the Lamb. Thank you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the church today. And I pray especially for this local church here at Elkview at the head of the holler. Lord, would you bless her? God, would you use her for your honor and for your glory and for all that we do, for all that you do. We'll praise you. We'll give you glory the best that we can. In Jesus' name, and everyone said,
amen.
Amen. The Lord bless you. The Lord bless you. I guess that's all.